Have you noticed that in today's reading, verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's quite different from what we actually recite every Sunday morning. We say the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Anyone knows why there's difference? Why the Bible says, after all, this is King James translation, quite old translation, over 500 years old, and still we are not saying the same as the King James. Anyone knows that? And let me tell you, if you go to the Presbyterian Church or other Reformed congregations, what do they say? They would say debts and debtors. Any Presbyterian Church background? Reformed Church background? Yes, you understand that. And however, if you go to Roman Catholic Church, if you go to Anglican Church, and if you even go to the typical Methodist congregation, we would say what? Trespasses and those who trespass against us. Now, someone says at the first service, it's a difference between translation. But before even King James Version was born, people always said this. For 1549, there was a Book of Common Prayer in the Anglican Church in England. They started saying the prayer with trespasses. In other words, we continue on saying it based upon the Anglican tradition. After all, Methodist Church branched off from the Anglican Church. Did you know that the John Wesley was the Anglican priest? He was ordained as Anglican priest first, then he branched off from that. That's why we continue saying trespass and trespass against us. Just for your information. So this morning we are going to think about the number one spiritual need in our relationship with God and in our relationship with each other, which is forgiveness. It's a big word, isn't it? This topic is so huge and multifaceted that I cannot talk about forgiveness with just one single sermon. I feel like I need another series on this topic of forgiveness. So this is what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to cover three things. Number one, the definition of forgiveness. Number two, the nature of forgiveness. And number three, the practical reasons why we should forgive each other. Okay, let me begin with the definition. I always begin with the secular definition so that we could stay on the same page. I look up in the Oxford Dictionary. To forgive, it defines, I quote, is to stop feeling angry or resentful toward someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. I think it's well laid out definition. To forgive means to stop feeling angry or resentful toward someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. You know, it gives me the impression that this definition is more like a reactionary. Something happens to us and then we react. We try to stop feeling angry. We try to stop, you know, feeling resentful towards someone for an offense. There was a Sunday school class going on, first and second graders, and they were learning about forgiveness. The teacher asked the boys and girls, has anyone forgiven? And a boy raised his hand. He says, I have. And teacher said, tell me. And the boy says, I forgave my mom for walloping on my rear. Folks, you know, kids, you think they're too young to understand. Not really. They're already practicing forgiving their own mother for walloping on their rear. Anyway, that's secular definition. Now, I'm getting a little deeper. What the Bible says about forgiveness, this is a biblical definition, okay? And I just piggyride on the Oxford Dictionary. In addition to stopping the feeling of anger and resentment toward the perpetrator, forgiveness means to wipe out, erase the offense, flaw, or mistake from the perpetrator. Do you get that? A lot of us still go with the secular definition, forgetting about the biblical definition. And let me tell you, it's not just reactionary, it is proactive. You take initiative. I am doing more than just stop myself feeling, you know, just angry about certain things. I tried to wipe out, erase the offense. And a true story, a young man, you know, came to America from Korea and to continue his studies in a graduate school in Philadelphia. And one night, he went out and he took a wrong turn and got into the back alley of the Philadelphia. And guess what? He was mugged and later on he was murdered by a group of gang members. Within a couple of days, all these, you know, the members of the gang, they were all arrested and they brought to, you know, the justice. The father of the young man who was murdered flew in on the day of sentencing. So after all this sentence was read and everything, the father raised his hand and he walked toward the judge. Judge was sitting here, he's stand there and he's knelt down on the floor. And he was speaking to the entire courthouse there, people there, and through the interpreter. This is what the father says, "Your Honor, I forgive all these young men in the name of Jesus. I want them to go free. I release them because they didn't know what they're doing. Let them go." The judge was deeply touched with his, you know, plea. And however, he says, "Sir, I understand where you come from. However, that's not how the American justice works." Think of it. Why this Christian man from Korea wanted to release these perpetrators? He says, "I forgive them." That's what it means, truly forgive. I release them and I wipe out and erase the offense from these perpetrators. Keep that in mind. I'm going to move on to the nature of forgiveness. I'm going to present three things that I discovered in the Bible. Number one, forgiveness is God's attributes. One of God's attributes. It's a God thing. The scripture says this, "With God, there's always and will be forgiveness." I love this sentence. "There always and will be forgiveness with God." Psalm 130, verse 4. Our God is a forgiving God. As much as it's a God thing, it is also our thing. You know why? Because the same God expects us, you and me, to imitate Him, partake in His character, and forgive one another. Therefore, my prayer for all of us, we the Christians must be able to say, "With us, there is forgiveness and will be forgiveness." The second characteristic of forgiveness is this. Forgiveness means a second chance. It means a clean slate. Everyone needs it. I don't know about you, but I do need it. I'm sure all of us need a second chance. No wonder the Bible says this, "Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven." Forgiveness means remembering no more. Forgiveness means remembering of no past sins. Forgiveness means keeping no records of past wrongs. You know, if you're married and you had a discussion, an argument with your wife 5 years ago, and at the time you thought the argument was over, you said sorry to your wife and so forth, and you have a fresh argument last night and your wife brings up, "By the way, 5 years ago you did wrong to me," and that's not forgiveness, is it? Forgiveness means keeping no records of no past sins. The next characteristic of forgiveness is this. Forgiveness must be done by someone else, not by self. You know, I checked how many times the Bible talks about forgiveness. Overall, in the Old Testament as well as New Testament, I counted close to 200 times the Bible talks about forgiveness. The original Hebrew meaning of forgiveness is coming from the Hebrew word nasa. Okay? It literally means to lift up or take away the burden of guilt and shame from the perpetrator and aggressor. Do you get that? Lift up, take away the burden of the guilt and shame from the perpetrator. In other words, this act of lifting up and taking away can be done only by the third person. Either by God or either by the person whom we wronged. Not by ourselves, not by the perpetrator. You know, we read a very beautiful prayer today. Help us to learn to forgive ourselves. But let me tell you this. Whoever wrote this is beautiful, with a good intention and everything. But this is what I've discovered. If you research the Bible, study the Bible, Bible double never says, learn to forgive yourself. You accept either forgiveness from God or forgiveness from the victim whom you harmed, but you never forgive yourself. To me, it's like, I don't even try to forgive myself. It's a wonderful thing. If someone says, I still try to forgive myself what I've done. Thank you for your humility. But I don't think it's really biblical. Just accept God's forgiveness when God says, your sins are forgiven and you take it. If someone says that, you know, whom we harmed or hurt and says that, I forgive you and take it as it is. Don't go beyond that, oh, I still have a hard time forgiving myself. No. You know, just logically speaking, if God says that my sins are forgiven and I said, Lord, thank you very much, but I'm still trying very hard to forgive myself, to me it's like I'm contradicting God, what he says. If you have a hard time forgiving yourself, check yourself. Have I received God's forgiveness on me? If you cannot say yes, then that's the issue that you need to work on, not the issue of, I have a hard time forgiving myself. You see what I'm saying? Don't even try it. It's not going to work. Now, let me give you an example. Remember what I said, my preference, if between the trespasses and the debts, and those who are debtors, and those who trespass against me, if you ask me, Pastor Choi, which your preference? I would say debts and debtors. Why? Because it's a little closer to the original language, which is Greek. Okay? Literally means financial debts and financial debtors. And let me give you an example. Let's say I owe $20,000 on my credit card to the bank. No matter how hard I try and I declare to everyone, I cancel my own debt, you would laugh. Because it doesn't affect anything. You see what I'm saying? Same thing. I forgive myself, hello, it doesn't change a thing at all. The only ways, two ways change my debt is what? Either someone, just, you know, benefactor, comes after me and says, well, I'm going to pay for Pastor Choi $20,000. Pay off his debt. And I say, thank you very much. That's one way to cancel my debt. The second way to cancel my debt is that my banker comes to me and sends me a letter and say, by the way, Mr. Choi, we are doing so well. We just go, and just let you go off. He canceled it. The creditor canceled it, not the debtor. You see what I'm saying? It applies the same way in your spiritual walk. Accept God's forgiveness and accept someone who has forgiven you, but you don't have to try hard to forgive yourself. Okay? Now here's a very interesting and important point that I discovered as I prepare my sermon. But I must point out this. The resurrected Christ, after he resurrected from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. And this is what he said, John chapter 20, verse 23. I give you the authority to remit somebody's sins. If you forgive them, then their sins will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, retain their sins will remain unforgiven. I thought, wow, since when? God has given us the authority to forgive someone else's sin. You know, this is an awesome responsibility and command and authority that many a Christian are ignorant of, and therefore they're shy to use. It's an awesome responsibility and, you know, just command that God has given us, authority to forgive someone else's sin. Let's use it. Now, the problem we have is this. We do have a problem of reciprocating. You see, we always welcome and desire the divine forgiveness. I'm sure you do too. However, when it comes down to reciprocating forgiveness for others, we have a big trouble. We expect God to forgive us almost instantly as soon as I said, I'm sorry, Lord, I've goofed up. I expect him to forgive me right away. However, when it comes down to forgive others, it may take years, if ever. Now, some of us genuinely try to forgive those perpetrators in our lives. I really admire you. However, we still find extremely difficult to do it. Okay? Because the power to forgive is simply not in us. We must realize that the power to forgive comes from God. That's perhaps, a lot of us know this quote, to err is human, to forgive is what? Alexander Pope. I didn't have a chance to talk with him, why he put that way, but I understand perhaps what he meant to forgive is divine, is the power to forgive others is not from us, it's not human, and it requires divine strength. And Paul the Apostle says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, including forgiving others, through Christ who strengthens me. Forgiving others is only possible when we obey God. Now let me take you to the practical reasons now why we should forgive. I'm going to present to you 4 reasons. May God open up our hearts and minds. May God grant us the desire to obey Him and power to forgive others in the name of Jesus. Okay? I said 4 reasons why we should forgive. Number 1 is for God, and the other three, for ourselves. Did you know, number 1, vengeance is God's, belongs to God. God says, no human has any right whatsoever to revenge. Folks, this is not my word. It is in the Bible. Vengeance is God's and His alone. Romans 12:17. Therefore, you and I would be best to put revenge into God's hands, not in ours. The way I think, to refuse to forgive someone is to play God on my part. Okay? That's the number 1 reason. The second reason, if we do not forgive others and their sins, and God will not forgive ours. No forgiveness of sins of others means no forgiveness of our sins. The Lord's Prayer is very simple. It says, you know, God's forgiveness of our sins entirely depends on our forgiving of others' sins. In other words, when we do not forgive each other, guess what? Our sins still remain unforgiven. In other words, it's kind of a really very simple thing, but we try to just ignore it. If we still have 1 or 2 individuals whose sin we have not forgiven, years of our sins, guess what? Piled up, never got forgiven by God. Does it make sense to you what I'm saying? And our lives will be unbearable. Furthermore, to forgive others is not a suggestion. It is a command. Therefore, not forgiving someone is an act of a disobedience to God. Simple to me. Now, the Bible asks us to do this. Forgive others as God does. Let me tell you how God forgives us. Okay? He forgives us until He is satisfied with Himself. He says, I'm not happy what I've done for you. And this is what I'm going to do. And I'm just listing all the things that I've discovered in the Bible. How God forgives us. Number 1, when He forgives, He forgets. Number 2, when He forgives everyone. Number 3, when He forgives, He keeps the bridge open. He doesn't say to us, Gayun Choi, I've forgiven you 7 times. This is it. Hey, I burned the bridge. No. He still keeps the bridge open. Number 4, when He forgives so generously, it's beyond our expectations of the sinner. Let me tell you the story. There are 2 criminals who were crucified together at the same time with Jesus, right? One of them, looking at Jesus, Jesus, please remember me when you enter into your kingdom. The guy had been so bad throughout his entire life that he was capital punishment, crucified. But at the last moment, he was looking for a little tiny piece of mercy from the Lord. Just when you enter into your heaven, remember me. That's what he says. And guess what Jesus did? He says, well, you know, today you'll be in paradise with me. That means heaven. This guy was looking for small morsel, you know, small piece of bread. But Jesus says, guess what? I'll give you the entire feast. That's how God forgives us generously beyond our wildest imagination. When God forgives, He always does without limit and repeatedly. Remember, in American standard, three strikes, you're out. But you know what the biblical standards? One time, Peter asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother who sinned against me? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. That means 490 times. I bet God's number of forgiveness should be more than that. 491, 92. He repeatedly forgives us. And He expects us to do the same with others. The next one is this, practical reason. No forgiveness means no prayers answered. That's what Jesus says. So if you look at your own prayer life and there are certain things that, oh, why it takes so long? 20 years I'm still praying. I have one or two of this, okay? Okay? And you begin to wonder and check, analyze, what have I not done yet? If your prayers have not been answered for so long, I recommend you to check if there may be one or two individuals in your life whom you have not forgiven yet. Why? Because if you are not forgiven someone, God says your answers, you know, to prayer will not come. The way I see it is that our forgiveness to others and of others is like a door. Okay? If I open this door of forgiveness for others, two things will come into me. Number one is that divine forgiveness will enter in my life. The second thing is that God's answer to my prayers will also enter. The opposite is true. If I shut the door and never open forgiveness to others, guess what? Not only I shut down and shut out, keep off, God's forgiveness cannot enter, but also the prayer answer to my prayers will never come. The last practical reason why we should forgive others. When we do not forgive others, something else will happen to us. You know what that is? Hatred, anger, resentment begin to set in our hearts, and they begin to invite the devil into our lives. Okay? Listen, this is how it happens. When we refuse to forgive someone, we store up hatred in our hearts, little by little, over the years, okay? When our hearts are filled with hatred, then we give a chance to the devil to enter into our lives. You think, oh, devil, never into my life? No. Did you know, right in front of Jesus' presence, the devil entered into whose heart? Judas Iscariot's heart. Okay? So don't say that, oh, devil never enters. It could enter into your heart. It all depends on what's in your heart. You see what I'm saying? This is a very serious matter that affects many, in my humble opinion, too many Christians who are under the influence of the hatred demon in them. Listen very carefully. Resentment and unwillingness to forgive will give a legal ground, foothold, for an evil spirit to enter and stay in our hearts. Let me give you a true example. An elderly couple, married over 40 years, okay? And the husband had one day a stroke that left him paralyzed on one side. He was lying in bed and his wife was tending and sitting next to him. One day, the daughter-in-law coming into the house and saw a very bizarre thing happening in the room between the couple. What she saw was this. Mother-in-law pulling the cup of water, okay, from this gentleman. What this gentleman was doing with his unaffected side hand, he's trying to reach the cup. Okay? Because he was thirsty. And the wife, moving the cup away inch by inch, waited a few minutes. The husband trying again, she moved the cup away again. And the daughter-in-law couldn't believe what she's seeing. So she asked the mother-in-law, what are you doing? And the answer she got from the mother-in-law is more surprising. This is what she said, the mother-in-law. I want to revenge for what he had done to me for years. He was so mean to me over the years that I thought about divorcing him several times, but I couldn't because of the children. Now it's payback time. Isn't it so scary? You think there's a normal person who could do such a thing? Maybe, but you know what? And I begin to wonder who's suffering or being tortured more here, the lady or the husband. But to me, it's the lady. Over the years of resentment, anger, and hatred piled up, and she was influenced by this demon, hatred demon inside. And that's why she's doing it to something unthinkable. See? In my humble opinion, this couple needs forgiveness and reconciliation and deliverance. Once again, folks, I'm just as for closing. Tonight, before you go to bed, I'm sure a lot of us say the prayer. Include the Lord's Prayer. And ask for God's help to forgive every single individual in your life whom you have not forgiven. Who hurt you. Okay? And name them individually, one by one. Okay, that's very important. And declare to God and to yourself that I have forgiven this individual, name it, in the name of Jesus. If you have more than one, move on to the next one. Move on to the next one. Okay? You gotta do a very thorough job. Because this kind of thing you don't hear often. Either from the pulpit or from the pastor. So we want to make sure that this time we do it right, okay? And declare every time you say the Lord's Prayer. Do not follow your feelings, because feelings to forgive will never come to you. Okay? Set aside your feelings and use your willpower. Say, I am going to forgive this individual. You're doing a great favor to yourself by doing it. Just remember, God's forgiveness of your sins totally hinges upon what? Your forgiveness of others' sins. The Bible says, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven by God. And let me tell you this, that blessing will not come until we forgive others in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. In a sense, to be a follower of Christ is very simple. Yet, we feel so difficult. We feel there are so many rules and regulations. Christianity and going to church is a thing of the past. We are living in the 21st century, the age of science. But Lord, some things never change. The way we are created, the way we react and act with each other. One thing never changes, that is the importance of forgiving, forgiveness, forgiven and forgiving. Help us, Lord, to realize and see the spiritual reality, what's going on in our lives, and forgive those perpetrators in our lives. Years ago, and even yesterday, even this morning, we forgive them in your name. And then, you say, then I can forgive you and your sins. Help us to live a very healthy life of forgiving and being forgiven every single day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.